I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Let's play a little true or false. Black women are 3 times more likely to experience a pregnancy-related death here in Illinois. In Chicago, the rate of Black maternal mortality is higher compared to the entire state. The South Side and the Southland lost over half of its labor and delivery beds between 2000 and 2020. All these statements are true, and these health inequities are a reality for many Black women and mothers. Black Maternal Health Week may be winding down, but the work to address these disparities continues. I sat down with UChicago Medicine's inaugural Chief Obstetrical Transformation Officer, Dr. Sarosh Rana, and Chief Operating Officer of the Southside Health Community Organization, Sarah Janvier, to discuss new efforts happening on the Southside. Dr. Rana starts with the impact of half the labor and delivery beds being slashed on Chicago's Southside.
Obviously, you can imagine this is extremely significant and obviously a big loss to our community here in the absence of these safe places where people can actually go in a reasonable distance from their homes where they're living and have a safe delivery. Actually, UNICEF Chicago Medicine is the only one level 3 perinatal center in this entire South Side. So that also obviously brings us to the point why we are even here, is because I think UNICEF Chicago Medicine is playing an important role here.
Sarah, can you pick up where the doctor left off there? What are the real world implications of this loss?
It's quite overwhelming for mothers on the South Side of Chicago. They are either having to leave the service area to get the quality of service that they deserve, or they're having to work in a health system that is quite disjointed because we do have so few delivery cares or sites of care on the South Side of Chicago. So it's really disheartening when you see services leaving the South Side of Chicago where we have such a large population. It's creating quite the health desert in a sense for mothers across the South Side.
And Dr. Rana, I also want to make sure that definitions are clear here, right? What is under the umbrella of maternal health? Let's start there. What are we talking about?
I think as I am looking at it, I'm really focused on the quality of care that the person is getting during pregnancy. So starting from early pregnancy, intrapartum care. So that's the quality of care that the person is getting during labor.
Right.
And I would say to a certain extent, postpartum care, which can extend to, we can say at least for 6 weeks postpartum. That's the kind of the maternal health we're talking about in this context.
What do we mean when we say pregnancy related death?
Those are any death that happens to a pregnant person dies either during pregnancy or postpartum within 42 days of delivery. And then also there's extended maternal mortality, which is up to 1 year after delivery.
Sarah, how have you seen maternal care evolve over the years, particularly on the South Side?
With so many of the labor and delivery locations closing, it's not just particularly that service. It's some of those wraparound services that were included at those locations that also either start to slow down because they don't have the patient population to support them, as well as they're either slowing down or closing altogether. So we're seeing instances where patients are not only not having complete access to the right labor and delivery sites, but also those services that were located, co-located with those sites are also starting to close. And it's creating, this model where we are seeing so many individuals go out of their neighborhoods, sometimes 30 minutes or more to seek care. When that starts to happen or that becomes the only option for some of our patients, there are times where some of our patients either can't afford the trip across town for that care, or because it's so far and they would have to take an entire day off for care, they've made the decision not to go and receive that care because it's something that becomes a financial strain to them. So we're now starting to see patients that, as opposed to really going in and receiving care at an earlier point in their pregnancy because of all the constraints around time and, you know, having to take time off of work and transportation, they're making the decision to just forego care altogether, which starts to create those complications later on in the pregnancy because they're not accessing care in an earlier state.
You mentioned early on there, Sarah, wraparound services. Can you be specific? What are we talking about?
Those wraparound services not only entail, you know, access to the OB-GYN that's providing those prenatal visits, but also the ultrasound services that are available to those mothers during their pregnancy and at times often post-pregnancy. Also, the services related to care navigation. Our healthcare system is very complex, and having the support of someone who understands that system to navigate you through that process, helping to get those appointments scheduled, helping to ensure that you have the right insurance coverage for those appointments are often things that we're hearing from patients they really need support on. And then also all of the other social resources that at times our patient population are coming forward on needing assistance with, like food, transportation, you know, job security. Those are the things that we're oftentimes hearing. You know, I would love to focus on my health, but how can I make that a priority when I don't have a steady job or housing is starting to become an issue for me? So I really have to prioritize figuring out those issues rather than prioritizing getting the right care.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Sarah's mentioning an overall lack of wraparound services, you know, poor access to care. We've talked about the loss of the beds. What are some of the reasons, in your view, that we're seeing this type of loss in the first place? Why is this happening?
As a medical care provider, what I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, I think there are other things in place. For example, African-American Black people here in the South Chicago, they are at increased risk to have adverse outcomes in pregnancy because they start their pregnancy with some of these health risks. So they have higher prevalence of obesity, higher prevalence of hypertension. They actually have lack of access to quality care, which we are talking about here. The clinics are closing, the hospitals are closing, so they have to go a long distance. They don't really have, even access to care. And even if they have access to care, they don't have access to quality care. And a lot of times at the hospital level, we have found that either the programs are missing for these patients, if they exist, they are not very, very effective. And then we can talk about things such as lack of awareness. So there's lack of awareness among providers, what's going on. There's lack of awareness on the patient side. And then obviously we can also talk about things like such as implicit bias. So there's lots of bias and lots of literature around biases among healthcare providers and healthcare systems against. So it's kind of like almost the entire universe is working against our patients.
Wow. And so we're clear, doctor, you mentioned the closing of some clinics and hospitals. Why was that happening?
I think a lot of it is financial. So it's hard to maintain high quality labor and delivery units. Patients, a lot of our women are actually on Medicaid and on different kind of insurances. So I think some of that, a lot of that could be playing a role in that too.
I think those are two of the probably top reasons. The cost to, you know, keep a labor and delivery unit open is fairly high. And when you look at the hospitals across the south side of Chicago, a lot of our locations are safety net hospitals, and they're predominantly servicing a Medicaid population. So they're oftentimes having to weigh the expenses of keeping a service open to what they're actually being reimbursed and how do they continue to keep their doors open to serve the community. So I think the cost associated with keeping some of those labor and delivery units open is become quite a challenge for a lot of the providers in the community. And I think that has been probably what's led to a lot of the closure that we've seen thus far.
So Sarah, we're talking a lot about loss right now, but I mean, is everything a loss right now? What's been gained? What would you say?
I think this partnership, in a sense, has been for us something that's a major gain. This issue has been something that is of key focus on how to address, not only at the state level, but also at the local level. And because there's such a microscope on how do we come together on creating solutions around this issue, particularly for the population across the south side of Chicago, we were able to create this transformative partnership across 13 healthcare organizations, where we're all coming to the table to figure out how do we all address this issue. You know, we each decide what role we're playing in it, or whether it be we're all coming together to completely redesign how someone on the south side of Chicago goes and receives maternal care and how they're receiving quality services and they're wanting to stay in the community for those services.
Doctor, why don't we pick up where Sarah left off there? We know that there are a number of partnerships between UChicago Medicine and other health centers in under-resourced communities. But let's focus on this south side in particular. What can you share?
You know, so Chicago is, like I was saying, is pretty unique because we are sitting here as a level, three perinatal hospital surrounded by this obstetrical desert. We are collaborating with several of our federally qualified health centers under these pillars that we have created, recognizing the different problems that we think that patients are facing. Mm-hmm. So one of the pillars that we have is this high-risk specialty pregnancy care. So what we are doing is we're actually providing maternal fetal medicine care. So we are actually sending our providers to an FQHC. And that's very, it takes care of so many barriers. So if the patient is able to come to an FQHC, they don't have to go to yet another place if they are deemed to be high-risk. They can actually be seen by a high-risk provider there. This collaboration that we're having with SSHCO is really enhanced evidence-based supportive programs. So we have educational series, we have these programs which we have tested at the University of Chicago to see, yes, this works for example, management of hypertension, management of postpartum blood pressures, and put those programs and standardize those treatments of certain conditions for our patients so that they can get standardized care.
Sarah, jump in here. I mean, talk more about the goals of this partnership.
We are really honed in and focused on bringing care to the patient as opposed to our patients having to travel either outside of their service area or travel a bit further out of their community for care. So bringing in services like our maternal fetal medicine specialists from the University of Chicago Medicine into a community-based clinic where patients are frequently coming for primary care services is something that we're really excited about, as well as bringing forward ultrasound services where a mother can go in and have that service done in a same appointment as opposed to prior to her having to go see her physician at one location and then going to get an ultrasound service at another location. Mm-hmm. That at times presented a true challenge because you're now asking a mother to take an entire day off of work,
right,
perhaps.
To go to two locations.
Correct. And if you throw in there the challenge of, being employed by someone, by an organization that's not as flexible with time off, or some dealing with transportation challenges, you're now throwing in lots of barriers for a mother across the south side of Chicago in her ability to get access to those services. So we're excited to not only be able to bring forth these quality services in a community-based setting, but also be able to provide our patients with transportation services. Mm-hmm. We are also, we've invested funding into the flexible housing pool. So for our patients that are the right fit and in need of housing, we're supporting them in that manner, or we're helping to navigate them to other housing resources. We're also working with a partner from a food insecurity standpoint, where patients can get deliveries sent to them on a weekly basis with fresh produce. Mm-hmm. So we are working really closely with our patients to remove all of the barriers that might be in place for them as it relates to them receiving that care. And that work is being facilitated by our community health worker team, as well as our nurse care coordinator teams that work hand in hand with the patients to ensure they're getting resources. They have someone that looks like them from their community that understands some of the things that they might be dealing with on a day-to-day basis, providing them support.
So leave us with this then, Sarah. How will you measure success of all that you just described?
We're constantly looking at the number of patients that have, through their pregnancy, successfully attended their appointments, not only through their pregnancy, but as well as postpartum. Our team members follow that patient and they continue to engage with them a year postpartum. So they're helping to support not only the mother, but also the new child that they brought into this world. So that's something that's very important to us in how we measure our success, with the hope of those activities and that partnership helping to decrease rates of mortality and morbidity across the South Side of Chicago that are related to maternal care.
That's certainly some great work. We've been talking to UChicago Medicine's Dr. Sarosh Rana and Southside Health Community Organization's Sarah Janvier about addressing health inequities for Black women and maternal health in Chicago. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. Make sure to check back on the podcast this afternoon and subscribe to our newsletter so that you don't miss a thing. You can sign up for that at wbez.org/resetnews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening.